This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center, any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith, alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And, Mark, I really don't even want to talk to you about this 8 in a row.
8 is enough, and that's what Wade Phillips tweeted on Monday. That's it. It's got to stop now, and 8 is enough is an old 70s TV show, way before your time.
I don't even know what show you're talking about, Willie Ames. But no, yeah. I don't even know what you're talking
Adam
about.
Adam Rich, Betty Buckley.
All right, let's wrap this game up. Obviously, the drama, of course, was the change in quarterback late in the third quarter. Just your thoughts on that and then how it almost played out to Gary Kubiak and the Texans' advantage.
Unfortunately, almost is a word that's come up way too much in this 8-game losing streak. You have a lot of almosts, what-ifs, and should-haves and all of that. Gary Kubiak makes the switch to Matt Schaub, who actually moves the football team. They got inside the 15-yard line three times, came away with two field goals, had a chance at the winning touchdown, didn't get it, and here we are with an 8-game losing streak.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about it after we check out all the highlights in this week's Texans Rewind. For the second consecutive week and the fourth time this season, the Texans turn the ball over on the opening drive after a Garrett Graham fumble.
Case with a little time and hits Graham dragging across. He fumbled the football. It's out and it's picked up by the Raiders across the 45. Here goes Adams. 35, cutting right, 30, 25, 20, cutting back to the left. He's still going and he's down at the 16-yard line.
Later in the first quarter, the turnover bug continued to plague the Texans. This time, it was Case Keenum who threw the first interception of his young career. Compliments of linebacker Nick Roach, putting Houston in an early 14-0 hole.
First down at the Houston 16 for Oakland. McLaurin throws, end zone, caught, touchdown, Streeter. Just like that, the Raiders go up 2 touchdowns on the Texans.
The second quarter looked to be the momentum changer as both Keenum and Graham redeemed themselves with a 42-yard backyard-type bomb, the longest for Graham en route to a 136-yard career day, also the most yards ever in franchise history for a tight end.
Keenum takes the snap, fakes the give, and he's being chased as he rolls out to the right. And Keenum stays in bounds along the sideline, and he chucks it long for Garrett Graham, who makes the catch, and he's got a touchdown! Oh my! Case Keenum! Stayed in bounds and hit Pater to Garrett Graham.
Also setting a franchise record was Keyshawn Martin, who returned a punt 87 yards, tying the score at 14, making that our HCC Go Get It, It's Yours play of the week.
Martin has it bounce off his helmet, picks it up, 15, 20, cutting right, 25. He's on the move, 30, 35, has some room, 45, 50. Keyshawn to the outside left, 40, the 30, the 20, 15, 10, 5. He's got it! Rock and roll, Keyshawn Martin.
Unfortunately, the second half woes continued for the Texans as Case Keenum had trouble with Raider adjustments and a constant blitz, causing Gary Kubiak, who from the press box, pulled Keenum in favor of Matt Schaub.
And Matt Schaub is back at quarterback for the Texans. And the crowd sees this and reacts. His team is down 11. See what he can do.
What was happening was we had to make a lot of changes from a protection standpoint to handle some of the things they were doing, trying to create some tempo and do that, and it made it very tough on Case, in my opinion, being a young player. And so I knew that Matt could get done some of the things I wanted to get done real fast and to give us a chance to win the football game, so that's why I did it.
Schaub finished the day 12 for 25 for 155 yards with 3 trips to the end zone, none of which resulted in touchdowns, and ended with a fourth down incomplete pass to Andre Johnson, a heated argument, and an early trip to the locker room.
Well, it's just emotions. Emotions of the game, just a culmination of a lot of things. But, you know, stuff will keep between us. You know, he's a great guy and a great competitor, as am I. And, you know, just the heat of the moment. But, you know, things, that's behind us.
We just exchanged some words. It's just, you know, the heat of the moment. Once we came in the locker room, we talked about it, nothing alone. So, I mean, I'm not worried about that. Me and Matt has played a lot of football together. And things like that happen. I mean, I think there's a lot of frustration going on. And, I think that just happened because of frustration. So.
All right, so Mark, another close but no cigar situation, as you said, the almost, just too many of them this season, and at this point, now there's really no turning back.
Unfortunately, the streak has been so long, Patty, that it has different dimensions to it. The first four games, 3 out of 4, were blowouts. The last four games of the streak, you have close, hotly contested affairs. Unfortunately, they're all losses.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. We'll talk much more about this one, as well as look forward to the Jacksonville Jaguars when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle as Mark and I continue to break down that game against the Oakland Raiders. Really, a lot of weird things happened as a kind of significant of the entire season. But let's talk about Gary Kubiak's decision to pull Matt Schaub. The fans booed. The Texans had to go to a silent count. They couldn't hear their cadence. A number of the players expressed their displeasure in the fans with that one.
Yeah, and Patty, there's a little Twitter war going on between some of the fans and some of the players right now. And war is probably too strong a word. But look, you're 2-8. These things are going to happen. Everybody's frustrated and miserable, and they want to snap out of it. As far as switching to Matt Schaub, Gary Kubiak thought he was doing what was best for the team on that particular day in that particular situation. It almost worked, like we said earlier, but it didn't. Now, Case Keenum needs to get up to speed with some of the things they're doing in the up-tempo offense. And I talked to Rick Dennison this week. They're working with him in that. They love what he does off schedule. They want him to stay on schedule a little bit longer with some of the things they're designing before he goes off the reservation and improvises. And often the improvisations have been working out great. And I think Case Keenum in these next few games is going to further develop. Now there's a full book on him on the scouting report, and we'll see how it goes for him.
Well, and then Gary, of course, comes back on Monday at his weekly press conferences and announces, first question right off the bat, announces that Case would be his quarterback, where I think a lot of people thought, because he did pull Matt, or he did put Matt in that third quarter, that maybe that was his way of transitioning Matt back into the rest of the season. But no, that's clearly not the case.
That's not the case, and who knows what would have happened if Schaub had thrown a winning touchdown pass, and I don't know, but I know they want to have a longer look at Case Keenum because they know who Matt is. They want to see who Keenum is long-term here, and he's immensely popular, right? When Gary Kubiak made the announcement on Monday, it was like magic dust. It takes some of the sting out of the 8-game losing streak, but not all of it, unfortunately.
Well, and then the other big item that happened was at the end of the game with Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub. Now, Andre and Case clearly have developed a nice little camaraderie, a nice little relationship in these last couple of games. And Andre stepped up and said it was his fault. He stopped on the route. But you don't ever see that kind of stuff out of him walking off the field in that little battle at the end of the game.
Total frustration because they've lost 8 in a row and they were supposed to be a contender for the ultimate game. And I think that feeds into all of this, Patty. And everybody I've talked to on and off the record says the same stuff, that this stuff goes on more than you think, whether you're winning, losing, or in between, where you have players kind of shouting at each other in frustration. You know, you have these athletes working together in close quarters, and not everything goes smoothly all the time. And even in winning situations, you have some of that frustration. But clearly, there was a lot at the end of the game. Those two have patched it up since, and let's just see what happens moving forward.
And as, of course, we always do here, we try to find silver linings, and there were a couple. Garrett Graham had a nice game, franchise record with 136-yard. Keyshawn Martin, who we'll have on a little bit later in the show with his 87-yard punt return. So there are some good things out there that are worth talking about.
You know, I thought Randy Bullock, too, Patty. You know, he goes 3-for-3 in field goals, including a career-long 51-yarder. That was a bright spot. You mentioned Keyshawn. Keyshawn is 7th in the NFL in kickoff return yardage as well. And it would be nice to see that phase of the game improve. And that's what you're looking at right here. Obviously, it's a paper-thin chance that you'd even have a whiff at a playoff consideration here. You have to win out and get all sorts of help. So what you're looking for here is not only individual players improving their performance, but also seeing phases of the game improve.
All right, well, one other thing that's a real highlight in the season here for the Houston Texans is something you had a chance to emcee earlier this week.
Yeah, it was the Taste of the Texans, and it's great stuff because it benefits the Houston Texans Foundation and Houston Methodist, and for a great cause. People get together with almost 30 of the finest restaurants in Houston, and it was a fun time on Monday night.
Yep, our Drew Doherty was there.
The 5th annual Taste of the Texans, presented by BP, was Monday night at Reliant Stadium. Over 750 people got a chance to mingle with the Texans rookie class and several veteran Texans players as well. More than 25 of the top restaurants in Houston were there serving up their signature dishes, and proceeds from the event allowed the Houston Texans Foundation to help underwrite hunger relief programs of the Houston Food Bank, which is the largest source of food for hunger relief charities in 18 Southeast Texas counties. It also helps support patient care, education, and research programs at Methodist Hospital.
Patty, I am still full from Monday's festivities.
I'm not at all because I wasn't invited.
Well, it got lost in the mail.
Yeah, we've got to take another time out here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Keyshawn Martin will join us. He's out. The Whataburger Community Player of the Month, Kareem Jackson, along with fellow cornerback Jonathan Joseph, met with fans this week for autographs and photos at the North Loop West location. Both players also received checks in the amount of $2,500 for charities of their choice. Be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com to select this month's nominees and register to win lunch with a Texan at the team facilities with the Whataburger Community Player of the Year. This month's nominees are DeAndre Hopkins, Brooks Reed, and Whitney Merciless. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Patty Smith joined by wide receiver Keyshawn Martin. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with the best part of really the game, an 87-yard franchise record-setting punt return for you. And you and I talked about it post-game after the game on Sunday. Kind of one of those weird ones, and it seems to happen a lot,
yeah,
where it kind of bounces off you, a little mistake, maybe throws off everybody's timing, and, boy, you just took advantage.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like it kind of threw him off a little bit. But, you know, once it hit me in the face mask, I just wanted to get on as fast as I can. And then, you know, after that, you know, I seen daylight. You know, the guys did a great job of blocking. You know, I just hit it and took it and ran with it.
Is there a point, or what point was it when you knew? Like, you saw the daylight, but when you knew that there was nobody between you and that goal line, and when you saw it, you know, kind of what's going through your mind at that point?
When I cut back across the field, you know, I knew, you know, this was the chance, you know, to have a big return. And, you know, after that, you know, I just turned on the Jets and, you know, the guys did a great job of getting in the punter way, so he wasn't a factor. You know, and then, you know, I just ran off of him and, you know, it just took it. And, you know, I really just wanted to, you know, help the team get back up. You know, we was down at the time, so, you know, a big play at that time, you know, was a good thing for us, and it kind of swung momentum back our way.
You know, as I introduce you here, I introduce you as a wide receiver. The first thing we talk about is a punt return. You do kick returns. Is there one or the other aspect of your game that you take more pride in? Do you see yourself as all three of those guys? Kind of how do you view and consider yourself?
Well, you know, I consider myself as a receiver, but, you know, punt returns and kick returns, it's just something that I've been doing since, you know, I kind of been playing football. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I got to have those tags too. But, you know, I love doing those things, you know, just making a big play because, you know, those taking one to the house on a punt and kick return can really turn the game around for your team. So, you know, I love doing it.
Second year in the NFL on this team for you, what sort of has changed or how have you grown? Kind of what's the difference for you this year, your sophomore year versus last year?
Well, just knowing what to do, you know, just, you know, becoming more of a pro, you know, every day, just, you know, staying in your playbooks, you know, watching a film. You know, a rookie, coming in as a rookie is kind of tough because, I mean, you got the combine and all that stuff. Then you come to an NFL training camp, and then you just got to learn stuff so fast. And, you know, year two, it just seems like everything just slows down for you.
You know, I know you've been kind of nursing a shoulder injury. I don't know, did it happen in San Francisco? Was that what it was?
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah.
And there was a point where you could, you know, barely lift your arm. I mean, I just kind of take us through, A, how you're feeling now and how much that progression of getting healthy has sort of helped you in these last few games.
Well, right now I feel good, you know, I feel great, you know, but I mean it was tough, you know, having that injury, you know, just tough, you know, just holding on to the ball kind of for me. But, you know, now I feel good, you know, I feel like I'm 100% and, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm just ready to go make more plays.
Well, is that your decision to, you know, like you said, it's tough to hold on to the, but you chose to play through it.
Yeah. I chose to play through it, you know, and, you know, I don't think I did a bad job, but, I mean, it definitely wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, now that I'm healthy, you know, I feel like, you know, I could do those things that I couldn't do when, you know, my shoulder was kind of messed up.
How difficult of a stretch has this been for you personally and the team, of course, and really kind of just some of the steps and some of the things you guys do to keep your head up and just look forward to the next game just to try and turn things around?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been tough, you know, just, you know, it was so much high expectation for us and, you know, to start off the season 2-8, you know, lose 8 straight games is definitely something that none of us expected. But, I mean, we just want to come out every game and just try to get a win, you know. We haven't felt, you know, that winning feeling in a long time. So, I mean, we just want to come out and get a win and just play hard, you know, every snap and just, you know, get that win.
Obviously, you saw Jason Babin pull the dreads out of Andre Ellington earlier. Just your thoughts on that. It's legal. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously frowned upon. But your thoughts when you see that?
I mean, it kind of gets me nervous a little bit, you know, because I don't really want to lose no dreads, you know, and especially it looked like he took a lot of his dreads out. So, I mean, what can we really do about it, though? I mean, it's legal. I don't think it should be legal, but, I mean, it is, so I just got to play through it.
Does it make you question whether you want to continue to grow them out or maybe time to chop them off?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, I think I'm going to stick with them for a little bit longer.
All right. Well, they look good.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. We have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle. Don't go away. When we come back, Mark Vandermeer will rejoin us. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. I'm letting Mark Vandermeer back in the show just because
Thank you.
Need somebody to do mailbag with me.
Yes, and speaking of mail, I will get you the invitation to next year's Taste of the Texans. And by the way, mailbag presented by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off game today.
All right, question number one comes from Jake. Jake wants to know about Case Keenum and what you have seen as far as his maturation in these past 4 games.
Well, think about this, Patty. Now everybody who plays the Texans has a 4-game, 3.5 sort of game log on Case Keenum and where he's vulnerable, what he does well, that kind of thing. And I think you've seen a lot of steps taken by Case, but he has to continue to show progress here. And there are some things that Matt Schaub does well that Case can learn from, like that up-tempo offense that the coaches wanted to see toward the end of the Raider game. But I think you're going to see it as we move along here. You know, some of the short passes, mix that in with, clearly he makes the big play off schedule very well. So it's a mix for Case Keenum, but he's got the attitude, the work ethic and the athletic ability to pull it all off.
All right, and Jill would like to know, could you please explain what Andre Johnson was supposed to do at the end of that route when he said he pulled up?
Well, he said he cut off the route, and if you look, you can see that it appears that he does. There's a lot of traffic there as well, and I think there were a couple of earlier plays where maybe he felt he should have gotten the football. This is just my speculation. And like we said earlier, there's just frustration between players because ultimately, as a team, they didn't get the job done, and they feel like they should. Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson, I mean, they've connected a lot of times. A lot of Andre's yards, of course, most of them come from the arm of Matt Schaub. So they've been a great battery for this team. But this year, obviously, it's not going well.
All right. Finally, Joel would like to know, of all the new guys that the Houston Texans have signed, who has the best chance of sticking it out long term?
That's a good question. You know, I like Jeff Tarpinian, the linebacker who had, 19 tackles after they looked at coach's film early in the week. And that's impressive stuff. And I heard from Antonio Smith and a couple of the other defenders how impressed they were with Jeff Tarpinian. But Joe Mays is going to come back this week. Daryl Sharpton was missing practice early in the week, as he often does. But he should be able to play against the Jaguars. I still think Tarpinian could figure into the mix. I don't know about the DBs. Juwanza Starling, you look at Josh Victorian, some of these other guys. They've been helping out on special teams. That's nice. But I think Tarpinian has a shot. However, once you get into a draft and you go into training camp and all of that, it becomes very competitive. We'll see.
All right, let's talk Jaguars. They, of course, will be here at Reliance Stadium on Sunday at noon. Just your thoughts on this one. This is obviously another one on paper that the Houston Texans should be able to get off the schneid with.
Yeah, you know what really strikes me, though, Patty, is that the Jaguars are used to these situations as an organization where they're not that good and they play in these games and maybe they flash and they beat somebody or they come up with a really competitive effort. And the Texans are just, you know, they're not used to this, right? And they clearly weren't ready for the Raiders. Now, they were ready to play. They were competitive in the game, but they still lost to an undrafted rookie quarterback. And I'm wondering, Chad Henne threw four touchdown passes in this building last year against the team that went 12-4. Here comes Henne again. We'll see how it goes. I think if the best thing Gary Kubiak can do is show the tape from last year, say, this guy did this to you last year, be ready, and they should be primed and motivated for this contest.
All right, besides Chad Henne, let's break him down a little bit, and specifically on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. What do they bring? What are their strengths?
Well, Paul Posluszny is one of their inside linebackers, their middle linebacker, rather, and he's a really good player, and they're very physical up front. And also, Rick Dennison was telling me that the team's speed is a factor as well. So they run around with their hair on fire. Okay, I know you like that cliche. So expect a buzzing Jacksonville defense, and they're going to bring heat on Case Keenum, and we'll see how he deals with it. That's the game within a game you want to look for right away, because the Jaguars know if they can get on top of the Texans early, you know, maybe they can get the crowd, you know, out of the game and really make life difficult on Houston.
All right, Mark, great stuff. And, of course, the game you want to see before the game is actually the show before the game, and that is right here on Fox Sports Southwest, Countdown to Texans. Well, actually, it's Texans Countdown Live, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Mark will join me as well as a plethora of other guests, and then be sure to flip right back over to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Wrap Live as we wrap up, which will hopefully this time be a Houston Texans
victory. Let's do it together.
Have a great week, everyone.